الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى: فلما تراءى الجمعان قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. It is the favor, the grace, the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the opportunity to witness this Mubarak day, the day of Ashura, which is undoubtedly a day of blessings, a day of barakat. It is also the day of Jumu'ah, the best day of the week. And we are in amongst the sacred months of the year, the four sacred months, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. And moreover, the virtue of the month of Muharram, it comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to it as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the important aspects of days like this, which trace their origin, their roots, their link back to Anbiya alayhimus salam, is that in addition to the blessings, the bounties, the different acts of worship like fasting that we carry out on these days, there is an element of tadabbur, an element of reflection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us towards on an annual basis. And not only an element of reflection, but also a source of guidance, a source of comfort and peace. And that is the beauty of our deen. That is the beauty of the anecdotes that have been shared with us in the Qur'an Majeed, in the Mubarak Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As our Hazrat, Walana Yunus Patel Sahib rahimahullah, would often say that these are not just fairy tales, but rather they are lessons, they are occasions of ibrat for us, that we should ponder over them, and we may experience different challenges in our lives. The ummah will experience different challenges, and we will continue to draw on the inspiration that was given to us or that was experienced, whether it is through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, in which there is nothing but guidance and purity and goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension to you and I as his ummatis, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, that whatever we narrate to you of the previous anbiya, we do it to strengthen your resolve, to give you the strength to face the difficulties, the challenges that you will experience in your own life. The reality, respected brothers, is that as believers, we are not going to have a relaxed life. It's not going to be a case that there are no tests, trials and tribulations that we will experience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people assume falsely that they will bring iman, that they will say that we are believers, and that they will be left alone and they will not be tested? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that most certainly we tested those that came before you, and most certainly we will test you as well. So we would have heard the bayans last night in the various masajid with regards to the virtues of Ashura. And I want to speak about one aspect of it and how it is relevant to us today with the challenges that we are experiencing. Today is the 26th of June, and we all know the media has been hyped up by a deadline on the 30th of June. Many people are concerned. Many have already seen the effects of the immigrants that are in our midst. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. So many of them are our brothers and sisters, Muslim brothers and sisters, that have been forced out of their homes, that have had to leave with nothing but the clothes on their backs. And it is also an opportunity of reflection for us that nothing stops that happening from us as, to us as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, but it has happened to so many people around the world. Study history and you will see Muslim and non-Muslim that suddenly overnight conditions changed and they were forced to flee with the clothes on their backs, leaving behind their homes, leaving behind their businesses, leaving behind their family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant one and all afiyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace that which they have lost with something better. The reality, respected friends and brothers, and we need to make this message clear, is that this is a humanitarian issue. It is not just an issue based on religious divides. Rather, as Muslims, we have sympathy for anybody of any race, any background, any ethnicity. If they are experiencing a humanitarian disaster, if they are out in the cold, if they are hungry, if they are sick, if they are without a home, we experience that pain and we would like to assist them in whatever way possible, even if it is simply by our du'as. Coming back to our topic at hand, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinah Munawwara and he saw that the people were fasting on the day of Ashura on the 10th of Muharram, understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed hijrah in Rabi'ul Awwal. So he would have seen this almost a year later, having settled in Madinah Munawwara when Muharram came. And he inquired as to what was the reason for the people fasting. And they mentioned that this is the day in which Musa alayhi salam was saved from the clutches of Fir'aun, oppression and tyranny. And he was protected and prevented from drowning. Therefore, Musa alayhi salam fasted as an act of gratitude. And we are following in his footsteps. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then makes a very important point worth reflecting on, that nahnu ahaqqu wa awla bi Musa minkum, that we are or we have a greater right and we are closer to Musa alayhi salam than the Jews. And the reason for that is that Musa alayhi salam came with this pure deen. He came with the oneness and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pure and unadulted. And unfortunately, subsequent to that, his deen was altered by his own followers. Therefore, we have a greater right and we are closer to him because we are also possessors of this pure and unadulted deen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we have a greater right and therefore we also commemorated this day. Now, let us reflect that what was this incident and how is it relevant to us here today? Musa alaihi salam, there is a very, very lengthy narrative that is given throughout the Quran and Majid with regards to his life and his trials and tribulations. Musa alayhi salam is trying to escape the clutches of Fir'aun. So above him, he has this tyranny, this oppression. He has Fir'aun that has been oppressing the Bani Israel for many, many years. And then behind him, he has this army that is in pursuit of him, that is trying to catch him up, capture him and his people and take them back into slavery and into oppression. And as they are doing this, they come to an obstacle in front of them. This obstacle is none other than a body of water. They have no boats. They have no mode of transportation to get over this body of water. There's no bridge. So they are unable to cross it. Now I want us to reflect today. These ayat were revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew an inspiration from them as well. Look at the act of hijrah. Hijrah took place and it was not in the month of Muharram as we discussed. Many, many years later in the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu an, when there was a need for administrative purposes to determine a calendar, then Umar radiallahu an chose Muharram as the starting point, but the year is the year of the hijrah. But if we look at the hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his people also had oppression and tyranny above them. The mushrikeen of Makkah made life extremely difficult for them. Behind them, the enemy were persecuting them. They were chasing them. They were preventing them from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that they were trying to escape to Madinah Munawwara, they were forcefully taking arms against them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had obstacles that he was facing in the midst of all of this. And then, looking at the story of Musa alayhi salam, not only was it the enemy from behind, was it the oppression from the top and the obstacle in the front, but Quran mentions to us that they were also pessimists and naysayers amongst his ranks, who when they saw this body of water, قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ The companions or some of them that were around Musa alayhi salam, they said, you know what? We are going to be overtaken. We are going to be overpowered. We have this body of water that is in front of us. This is a lesson for all of us throughout the history of mankind. Every ummah experienced it, and we are seeing it as well, that from within our own ranks, you will have naysayers. You will have people that are pessimists. Every time the ummah is trying to take one or two steps forward, you will have those from within our ranks that will try and create division and disunity. And this is the plot of shaitan to take us backwards. So we have to be aware and take lessons from the incident of Musa alayhi salam that are relevant to us today. Because even in our current situation, you will find that there are so many agents from within our own ranks, and you can explore and identify who and where they are, that their job is nothing but to create division and disunity in our ranks. Such a serious aspect, we need to ask for protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So nevertheless, these were the challenges that Musa alayhi salam experienced. Now what was the response of Musa alayhi salam? And there are three responses that I wish to explore, that we draw lessons from the life of Musa alayhi salam in this incident, and we can apply it to our own lives. The first thing is that Musa alayhi salam, his response to this apparent impossible situation was to place his complete tawakkul, his complete trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are three T's that we will be discussing today, or three ta's. The first one is tawakkul, having a complete and absolute reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what the conditions are around us, our nazar must always be 100% upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was Musa alayhi salam's first response when his people from amongst his ranks said that we are going to be overpowered? What did he say? قَالَ كَلَّا Never. Impossible. إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي That my Rabb is most certainly with me, and He is the one who is going to guide me to the right path. This has to be the response, the first response. We talk about first responders in any casualty. The first response of a mu'min, of a believer, is always to turn his gaze and his nazar solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find this from the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam. We find this from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us look at the night of Badr. It is known as Yawmul Furqan, the day of criterion, the day which was going to differentiate between iman and kufr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that he has got a very small army of individuals, ill-equipped. What does he do the night before? What does he do the night before? He does not spend the entire night in military strategy. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a military strategist par excellence. And by no means am I suggesting that we should abandon the means, and we'll come to that shortly. But he spends the night making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that Abu Bakr radiallahu an comes to him and says that enough, take a rest. You have pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist us. This has to be the first response for you and I in the face of any unrest, any calamity, that we should turn to a'mal. We should turn to salah. If our salah is not in order, let us use this as an opportunity and occasion to make that right. One of the points, or one of the lessons that we draw from the day of Ashura, and our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali mentioned it in some of his bayans, is that there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the day of Ashura, wherein Nabi alayhi salam mentions that on this day, one of the previous ummats were forgiven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive many other nations on this day. Some ulama have mentioned that this was the people of Yunus alayhi salam. Nonetheless, Hazrat Rahmatullahi alayhi draws the analogy, and he says that this is also a day of tawbah and istighfar. It is a day that we should make a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we have many other occasions, the night of Bara'ah, the night of Qadr, the nights of the two Eids, we have the month of Ramadan. These are occasions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us to turn towards Him and make tawbah and istighfar. In fact, Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes that this is the experience of the ulama and the mashayikh. It's not a hadith, it's not an ayat of the Qur'an Majid, but it is an experience of the mashayikh that whoever makes a firm intention for some good deed on the day of Ashura, then the experience has been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the tawfiq to carry it out going forward. So there is nothing wrong, respected friends and elders, we should be taking maximum avail of this opportunity, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making tawbah and istighfar in these days. So the first thing is that our nazar, our gaze, our trust has to be solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the T or the Ta of tawakkul. Then the next lesson that we see from Musa alayhi salam is the lesson of tadbir. The lesson of making use of the means that are available to us. Musa alayhi salam, seeing this impossible situation, did not just sit back and allow himself to be captured. He did not just sit down and give up to the enemy. Rather, he did everything within his power. He and his people escaped. They continued to march forward towards that body of water. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the instruction, فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ أَنِضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this, it sounds something that is illogical, take your staff and hit it on the water. He followed and he made use of the means. In the same way, we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we take the incident of the hijrah, it was not just Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam waking up one day and deciding that he has to make hijrah or receiving the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then just leaving and saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for me because He has commanded me to go. No, there was detailed, meticulous planning and strategy for the entire hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the arrangements in advance in terms of the conveyances that would be required, in terms of the provisions that would be required, in terms of the strategy of how he would take the route or a different route to remove the people that would be pursuing him, in terms of making the arrangements for a guide, in terms of the intelligence that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam restricted and did not disseminate even to those close around him because he did not want this news to spread to the enemy. In terms of how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu an to inform him about the hijrah. It comes in the hadith that Nabi alayhi salam came in the hot sun in the middle of the day, midday, at a time when people would normally not be out. This was part of the strategy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our deen is a deen that makes use of the means that are permissible and that are within the parameters of Sharia to help and give us a position of strength. Now my respected friends and elders, looking at our current situation, there are many things that we should have done over the years, over the decades, that would have assisted us in being in a position of strength today. And I wish to share with you anecdotes from the speeches and the talks of Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi rahimahullah, whom our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi would often quote. And he delivered various advices to Muslim minorities in the West, in the United States and the United Kingdom. Included in there were some of the leading universities, Cambridge University, Oxford University, Harvard University. And he spoke and he addressed, and this was many years ago in the mid-20th century. And he said to them that if you are going to remain insulated, I'm giving you, I'm paraphrasing what he had to say. If you are going to remain insulated within your Muslim communities, and you are only going to focus on your work, on eating, on your homes and your prayers, your salah, and you are not going to be aware of what is going on around you, and you are going to remain insulated, then when trouble comes, you will find that you will have no protection. Now let us understand what was said almost a century ago and how relevant it is for us today. We as a community have almost to a certain extent in many parts divorced ourselves from the rest of society. Our focus is generally work, masjid, home. And for many, it is just work and home. The masjid doesn't even feature. This is the bubble that we are living within. Whereas there are so many challenges that our community is facing. There are so many avenues that we as able-bodied individuals, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with resources. MashaAllah, the Muslim community has an abundance of resources. We have skills. We are in a position of power in comparison to other communities. How are we benefiting those around us? Our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali, in the year 2011, shortly before he passed away, he delivered a lecture, and in there he mentioned that this is the time for us. Now let us reflect 15 years ago. This is the time for us to start grooming our own political leadership, so that tomorrow we can have somebody in office, in whichever capacity, that is there, that is able to have taqwa in their lives, that has a link with the ulama, that has a link with deen, whichever field of deen that they are working in, but they will be there for the benefit of the ummah and society. This was his advice for us to try and bring about this revolution, because we cannot remain insulated within our communities. So this is a lesson for us, respected friends, that these events come and they show us and they expose the weakness of the Muslim community and the Muslim ummah. Now, we can respond in one of two ways. We can be continue to remain ignorant of these aspects, and if we are in that, you know, situation and that mindset, then it is only going to result in our further degeneration. Or we can, so to speak, proverbially take the bull by the horns. Yes, what has passed, but what is going to be in the future, we can make a concerted effort to change the course of the Muslim community in this country. And for this, my respected friends, every one of us has to get involved in some way, shape or form. Every mu'min, every believer has something to offer the community. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every mu'min, a strong believer is better than a weak believer, but in everybody there is some goodness. All of us have a role to play. Not everyone is going to be a public speaker. Not everyone is going to be involved in security and safety. And unfortunately, what happens when we have these events taking place, everybody wants to get involved in safety and security. It's important, but there are so many other challenges that we experience in our community. We need the skills to go into that. Somebody is going to get involved in social media. Just look at what is happening today and take a lesson, that this movement that has been created is most definitely funded by a third force. The type of social media coverage that they are getting, it is impossible to get it without a lot of money that is put behind it. You and I can argue till the cows come home, as they say, who is behind it, whether it is external, whether it is internal, whether it is a foreign power. But understand that they have been planning and they have been strategizing to create division and destabilization in our country. The response that we have to have is that we also have to become active in these avenues. And there are so many different things. Time does not permit for us to go into all of them. But the second lesson that we draw from Musa alayhi salam is that of tadbir, of making use of the permissible means that are there available to us, and making sure that we are advanced in those areas so that we can create the protection for our community and for our ummah. And we don't do this because we want to have one up on the rest of the community. That is not the mindset of a mu'min. That is not the mindset of a believer. We want goodness for the entire country. We want goodness for all people. We want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to go to sleep at night with a full belly. We want everybody to have employment. We want everybody to have a roof over their heads. But respected friends and elders, these are the challenges that are facing our community, and these are the opportunities for us as believers to find solutions to these challenges. The third T, or the third Ta, that we draw from the life of Musa alayhi salam at this particular incident on the day of Ashura, is that of Taslim. That of submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could also call it Tafweed. That we hand over our matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali explains that what is the meaning of tafweed? The Quran mentions, وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that I hand my matter over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tafweed means that after we have adopted the correct means, after we have made use of what is available to us in this dunya, and part of that is also the spiritual means, we have engaged in our a'mal, we have put right our lives, we have made tawbah and istighfar, we are frequenting the masajid, our salah is correct, all of these things. After we have done that, then we submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, what is going to happen is we totally in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a mu'min is not afraid. A mu'min is not anxious. Many people are experiencing anxiety, especially our women folk at home. What is going to happen? You know, they're going to be marching. Is there going to be looting? We know what happened previously in 2021. And no doubt these fears are not unfounded. Definitely the intelligence sources are pointing towards unrest. But it should not affect our hearts. A mu'min's heart, as our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali mentions, is gham-proof. A mu'min's heart is protected from this type of worry that consumes an individual. He hands his matter over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Musa alayhi salam, he submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do, he did it. Other Anbiya alayhi salam, we look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is being thrown into the fire. He submits himself to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is commanded to slaughter his son, what does the Quran mention? Both father and son, falamma aslama, both of them submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you and I, my respected friends and elders also, we will submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not become consumed and overpowered by fear and anxiety. Our trust is totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we conclude with this point, that we see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Musa alayhi salam. Everything is in the hands and the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is musabbibul asbab. He is the one who controls the means. That in this instant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the means. Outwardly, a river is such that you cannot cross it, but He opens it up and He makes it such katawdil azim that each side is like a huge mountain, and a path is created for Musa alayhi salam to be saved from the clutches of Fir'aun. In the same way, we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whichever way He sees fit, however He sees fit, to protect us, to protect our communities, to protect our businesses, to protect our families, to protect our society, to protect the entire country from the potential difficulties that we are facing. And we hand over our matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In conclusion, respected friends and elders, the occasion of Ashura is an opportunity for us to reflect on the anecdotes that happened during this time. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma nuthabbitu bihi fu'adak, that this is told to you so that it can firm and strengthen your own resolve. And we discussed the incident of Musa alayhi salam, wherein there were three aspects from his being saved from the clutches of Fir'aun. One was tawakkul, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we have to bring in our lives. Number two, making use of the necessary means, tadbir, those that are available to us, we make use of those means to their fullest. And after we have done that, then the third ta is taslim. We hand over our matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.